Well, that was fairly intense, eh? I wonder, though, if you've ever felt trapped, whether you've ever felt like you've been in a cage, whether you've ever felt like you've been like this, stuck behind these bars, and you don't really know how you got... I knew how I got here, but you don't really know how you got there. That feeling of being trapped. I had a mate in uni, his name was Nathan. And this guy, Nathan... I remember him telling me the story very well. He'd had a car crash. He'd gone out with a bunch of mates. He'd got drunk, but decided that he might drive home. And he got in this crash. And what he remembers so vividly is the moment where he was sitting in that wreckage and he couldn't move, but he could see and he could think as all these people were working around him to try to get him out. This guy almost died in this crash. And he was trapped. He said, I felt like I was trapped, not just in the car, but in my body. He was trapped. In that moment, there were bars all around him. The car itself, the wreckage was like a cage. He was trapped. He couldn't scream. He couldn't save himself. He was in this cage. Trapped in death, you could say. And I'm going to suggest tonight that this is actually the position all of us have been or are in, based on what it is that we read in Ephesians 2 verse 1. What did it say? Ephesians 2 verse 1 said, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Death, dead, death. We're going straight there, yeah? It's pretty full on to start talking about that. All right, we've had guinea pigs in our lives. One of the things that I've realized that guinea pigs are great at doing is helping kids learn about death. Because they seem to die an awful lot. So we had Peter Rabbit. Don't really know what happened to Peter Rabbit. We just went out one day, he weren't there no more. We had to tell the kids about Peter Rabbit. So we weren't just going to sort of try and replace with another rabbit. So we explained that sometimes those things can happen. And then we got Benji, little Benji. Benji was wonderful. We set up this cage. We used to be able to play with him. He loved it. And then one day we went out to the cage to feed him. We thought, hey, we used to look out the back window and he'd often run out and be like, oh yeah, good, Benji's alive. Phew. This day, there weren't no run out, no running out rabbit. Well, maybe we should go and check on Benji. So I went out, and because I was trying to be subtle initially about it, I went out and I checked in and I looked into the little cage that he lived in. And I just turned to Vic, who was out the back. Yeah, he's done. Because I didn't want to say dead yet, because I wanted to explain it to the kids. Problem was, Micah heard me. And so he wanders up. Yeah, he's done. There goes that teaching opportunity, you would think, doesn't it? But no, we were able to then stop in that moment because death is something we don't really wrestle with all that often. We like to separate ourselves from it. We don't really like to think about the reality that every single person dies, just like every single guinea pig or rabbit does. Death. And yet in this passage, it says, you were dead. How does that work? There ain't no changing back Benji in that moment to make him undead at that point. How does it work that you were dead? Well, it's important to see what you were dead in. You see, because it says you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, it says. And this isn't like two categories. It's not like two subjects you go to school, like maths and English, transgressions, sins. No, this is collective. This is everything. This is the sum total of your actions, all those ways of life we were watching those people do out there that really forced them in here. That is what your transgressions and sins are, and that is what you are dead in. And it means that we are like the living dead. Every single one of us has been or is. Spiritually, there is this brokenness between God and his people, us, those he created. A brokenness to that relationship. Verse 2 summed it up. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And you saw them doing that out there, didn't you? And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That was us. Romans 6:23 says, if that's what you're doing, if you live in that way, then the wages for that are death. Disobedience. Disobedience leads to death. Now, I'm pretty sure this isn't just me that's disobeyed before. Hands up if you've never disobeyed anybody or anything. Hands up if you've disobeyed somebody at some point, or you know that you've disobeyed the Lord God Almighty. That's the time where if you didn't put it up before, there's no in between, guys. You've either disobeyed or you've obeyed. And I know you've disobeyed. I remember a time that I disobeyed pretty directly. There was this, we started doing, at my school we had this hill, this wonderful hill. They had the soccer field down the bottom, this really, really cool hill where everybody used to sit on, and at the top, all our mates used to sit on this little spot. And what we'd do is we'd like drop kick the ball up the top and then kick it back down, and drop kick the ball and kick it back down. The problem was that all the science buildings were behind there. For some reason, science buildings have windows the size of this cage. It doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, these massive windows. So they said, stop drop kicking the ball up the hill. Simple, easy instruction to follow, yeah? Stop drop kicking the ball up the hill. No, not easy, because it was fun. And my friends wanted me to do it. And so I did it, and I drop kicked the ball up to the top of the hill. And you probably know where this is going to go. Because one day I did the best drop kick I've ever done in my life. It was just beautiful. And it soared. And it smashed. And the glass went everywhere, including on some people underneath. And I would have thought you'd put like that stuff that crumbles. No, no, no. This was like shards. And so people are like, ah! No, no, not really. But it fell down and it cut some peeps. And so I was like freaking out at this point, trying to think of all these stories I could do. The one I came up with was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I'll tell you about it later. But we've all disobeyed. Now, the reality is we've disobeyed the Lord God Almighty in all sorts of different ways, through transgressions and sins. And our disobedience to God points to something. It points to the fact that this is how we live. We live like those people were, and we get trapped in that reality. We are trapped. We are caged. All of us. That's what verse 3 says. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. All of us walking that same path, following the leader, our sinful nature. My mate Nathan, you remember my mate Nathan in that car? He's like many of us who are trapped in other ways, not just in that car. You could see it in him, in his life, as he sought for acceptance and escape from some of the troubles that plagued him constantly. As he drank, as he partied, as he had many unhealthy relationships, as he tried to figure out how it was that he would deal with this stuff. That moment in the car was kind of like a reflection of all of his life, really. But that moment in that car for him is actually like me sitting in this cage here too. It's a reflection for all of our lives. Have a look at the end of verse 3 again. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. This is why Paul can say, you were dead. All our actions, all of them, no matter what you do, you are walking in disobedience to God at that point, if you're in this cage, because by nature we are objects of wrath. So when I smashed that window, it was an interesting afternoon. That's actual footage. It was an interesting afternoon. So obviously, like, the school found out and they passed it on, and then I had to go, I was going to have an afternoon detention, which is really like being in a cage, isn't it? Like, afternoon detention is the worst. And it's always like a beautiful sunny day when you've got arvos. Like, why? Anyway, let's move on. Obviously, the school found out. When the school found out, because it was a pretty obvious spot, my brother also found out. My brother, as he and I were catching the bus on the way home, he sort of turned to me and he gave me this look. And I knew exactly what that look was saying. The look was, when you get home, you're as good as dead. Because there was no way I was getting out of this thing. I knew I'd disobeyed. Not just that I'd shattered this window and cut many people by accident, but I had disobeyed. And there are consequences for that. I was as good as dead. My dad was going to bring all the wrath he could imagine upon me. Because when we disobey, there are consequences to that. Paul is saying, we, living as we are as good as dead. You know that saying, don't you? As good as dead. The Bible points to it directly. The wages of sin, death. We are those who maybe once were, maybe still are, dead in our transgressions and when it comes to our relationship with God. Spiritually. Now, I've never been to prison aside from this moment, but bars, prison bars. I don't know if you've been to prison, maybe you have. Maybe you visited somebody in prison. And I hear people talk about prison in different ways at different times, depending on what prison they're talking about. Because everybody's sort of trapped, but there's some people who have been imprisoned. And yet, I've read a couple of articles that talk about how being in prison might be better than some of the ways that other people choose to live. Oh, the luxuries that some of them have. Let me tell you about Bastøy prison in Norway. Now, I had to just for modesty's sake, we've covered that guy up. But you can obviously see his sunbaking. Let me give you the description of this wonderful prison. Remember, it's a prison. Located on Bastøy Island in, I'm not going to try and pronounce that, it's a Norwegian name. This prison houses a little over 100 inmates who, within the prison complex, enjoy luxuries like tennis, horseback riding, fishing, and sunbathing. With tasteful cottages to house them and lush farms to work on, the prisoners at this minimum security institution probably often forget they're prisoners. And I've read of other places that have private bathrooms, kitchenettes, televisions, fully equipped gyms, basketball courts, outdoor gardens, and recreational areas. It sounds almost like the cruise I went on one time. This is incredible. But they're still in prison, aren't they? They're not free. They're trapped there. They're being kept there. And it's the actions of their own selves that got them there. But we get convinced by the cage too. Now, I know Nathan thought that his life was great, though he was trapped within all that he was doing. And before I gave my life to Christ, I was one of those people that was being dragged like the rest in here. They're in prison. Take a moment. Is that you? You've been convinced, conned by the ways of this world. Transgressions and sins seem tasty, delightful. They don't feel like bars. Convinced that the trapped life, the dead life, is the better life. This tells us no. No. Convinced by that, you're an object of wrath. You have a broken relationship with the Creator God. There is so much more, and there is a way out. And it ain't that easy. But there is a way out. Because God didn't leave us trapped in death, did he? Have a look at verses 4 and 5. He freed us by his grace. Have a look. Come with me, verse 4 and 5. But, have you ever noticed how often there are buts in the Bible that just change everything? But God, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. But God comes in. We all love those jailbreak movies, don't we? Like, I just broke out of that thing just with such ease. It was just brilliant, wasn't it? Those other guys had real issues. I don't know why. That was because the reality is it ain't that easy. We love the bust out. One of my favorites is Chicken Run. How good is the Chicken Run? Nah, all right, yep, for sure. Yeah, good. Everybody my age, wonderful. I couldn't think, what's like a jailbreak one that you guys know of? I couldn't think of a youth relevant one. Escape from Alcatraz, maybe? The Great Escape? Papillon? Yeah, this is where all that side of the room now is going. We know those ones, yeah. Shawshank Redemption? Yeah, oh, what? Chicken Run. Check it out. It is way up there. But we love them, don't we? The whole premise is what? They scheme and they plan and they battle the bad guys that have them trapped in this high security prison. Arnold's probably there. And we get out. These people who have been wrongfully imprisoned, or in Chicken Run's case, they're terrified they're going to be turned into a pie, and they don't like gravy. You know, it's a terrifying image, and yet they escape. Our cage isn't like that. There is one way in. Our transgressions and sins, which we have all done. We are all there. And that leads to our death ultimately. But there's only one way out as well. You can't escape this prison with a well-devised plan. Trust me, many people have tried. It's called religion. The bars can't be bent. Only one person can do it. And the but points towards that. Have a look again at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ Jesus. We're about to see the one way out. And it has all to do with God's great love, his initiative. We are trapped in there because of our disobedience to that very God. And yet, while we are deserving of punishment, the Bible says while we were still sinners, Jesus died. He took that death so that he could offer us mercy freely. That's what Paul is talking about. God loved us so he could forgive us. And he had to pay that price upon the cross because he then could be rich in mercy as he wants to be. Any of you got a rich friend? Get one. You know why? I had like a rich friend for a bit in high school, and it was the best because he'd buy me all the stuff at the canteen. See, my parents didn't give me that much money for the canteen, but he used to buy, or do what I did later on in high school, become friends with the canteen ladies. But that rich friend, you know why he could do that? Why he could, he was happy to buy me that stuff. Most people are stingy or, you know, just try and scrounge the money that is on the ground somehow or something like that to go and buy their food. But he could do it because he was rich. He had all this money. He was given all this money. I don't know why his parents did it, but they did, and he could give. You know what God is rich in? Mercy, forgiveness. And he can give it because he purchased by Jesus' blood all that we need. For people who are objects of his wrath, his fair judgment, how wonderful is that? And how did he do it? Well, we didn't get to see it in the skit, but it was that moment where it went dark. And it did go dark that day because that moment where it went dark, he stepped into the cage. He stepped in. He stepped into the very jaws of death itself and he ripped them open. My mate Nathan remembers describing the time where, have you ever heard of those things called the jaws of life? They're up on the screen now. They're these hydraulic things that the firefighters use to pry open the car that the person's in. They're trapped inside like this cage and it pries it open so they can be released, freed. And that's why they call it the jaws of life, because it's like they've been snatched from death itself. That's why they call them that. I want to tell you, Christ doesn't just snatch us. He entered that cage, and this is why we couldn't capture this in the skit, and he took the cage and he crushed the cage itself. The one who didn't have any transgressions or sins, who wasn't meant to die, who was never disobedient, ever, chose, that's what love is, to take it all for us. Chose to step into that cage and take all of it. You see, when Jesus hung on that cross, that's exactly what he was doing. But, another but, as I always say to Micah and Tilly, did Jesus stay dead? And like good little Bible reading kiddies they are, what do they say? No. Jesus died, but was raised. He is alive today. The only one who has the power and then shown it. He didn't just open the cage, but he destroyed it. And you know he destroyed it for? You and me. Every single one of us who is in this room, he destroyed that cage to be our source of life, eternal life. So if you're dead, he has life to offer to you. He is the way out, friends. Any of you seen that new Jumanji movie? I actually think, I'm going to go out here, I'm stepping out on a limb here, don't throw me in that cage, but I reckon it's better than the original. Whoa. You can't say that. That Williams guy's died. Like, you can't say that, can you? But I reckon it's better. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But if you don't understand the whole Jumanji idea, it's that there's this board game. Well, in this one, it turns into a video game where the people who are playing it actually enter into the game. And to add to that, if they die within the game, they die in real life. And to show how many lives they've got these tattoo sort of things on their arms. And as they die in the game, the tattoo fades and then they go boom, boom, and pop out of the sky and the next one's there, but they've only got two lives left. And there's a brilliant moment in the movie, wonderful, wonderful moment where Jack Black gets involved. You see, you've got a Jonas brother and Jack Black, so it's going to be great. But really their names in the movie are Alex and Bethany Walker. Jack Black is Bethany, if you're wondering. Surprising, isn't it? Because she thought Jack Black, she thought Sheldon Shelley Oberon, Bethany Walker thought that Sheldon Shelley Oberon, Shelley was a woman, so she chose Shelley. Yeah, Shelley. But Shelley's that. So it's not a woman, is it? No, that's Jack Black, not a woman. Okay? And so here's Bethany, and then there's Alex. Alex Jefferson Seaplane McDonough. So Alex is his name in the real world. In the game, he's Jefferson Seaplane McDonough. Not Daniel or Bryce or anything like that, but Seaplane McDonough. And we find out that his weakness is mozzies. He can't get bitten by mozzies. And after they make this incredible escape, I'm good. There's heaps of spoilers in this. Sorry, guys, you've had heaps of time. They make this awesome escape out with him flying this, was it a helicopter? See, you've seen it. Gotchas. Yes, flying a helicopter. He manages to save them and he jumps out of the helicopter. He's done it. And then he gets bitten by a mozzie. And in that moment, we know what's happening because he only got one life left. Only one life, and that starts to fade. He falls down and he is as good as dead. You know what happens at that point? He's dead. Except Bethany decides, I'm going to try something here. And so she goes and she starts performing like CPR. And as she's doing that, well, he, Jack Black, is doing that, her life starts to fade on her arm. And they go, stop, Bethany. But she says, no, I'm going to give my life to save him. And as she does it, his life comes back. And in that moment, we have a beautiful picture of what it is that Christ has done. Because she had to give that, didn't she? Grace. Graciously give that. We are in the exact same position as Alex was. Jefferson Seaplane McDonough. Dead. And we don't have no additional lives at this point. You are as good as dead. The mark isn't just fading, though. The Bible tells us we are dead. We can't escape that ourselves. We can't do it for each other even. We've tried for centuries. But there is one who offers life, who can save us from that cage of death. Have a look at verse 5, because it says, he made us alive with Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And verse 8 says it so beautifully, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Just like Bethany gifted it to Seaplane McDonough. Grace. That's it. That's how you guys get that. You realize that it's as easy as that in some respects. And yet, it's so hard because those walls. We were trapped in death. We can be freed by grace and then freed for life. And that's what the beautiful little ending is there, verse 6 to 10. And the beautiful ending we had of our skit as well. These people free, ready to live this life for the King. I just want to read these verses for you because it says, and God raised us up with Christ, the one who is risen, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are then meant to live this way. The skit showed us that. See, having been freed, you don't want to go back into that cage. You don't want to start living the same way you did before. No. Just like Josh showed you with that dirty nappy, you don't want to go back to that thing. No. We've been freed. And for those who are getting excited about camp next term, that's what you're going to look at. You're going to be freed to follow. You're not just freed to be like, okay, well now I'm just going to run back to that sucker. No. You now follow a different king. Not the ruler of this age, but Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to follow him. And for those who are going to be here over next term, we're going to look at that in Romans 6 as well, 6, 7, 8. But this passage, some of you are like, yeah, I love this passage. You know why? Because you read those first few lines, as for you, you were. You know this story. You know this is yours. And so if you're free, please, tonight, remember that you were trapped, but you've been made free by grace. And so please, brothers and sisters, live free. And that means you don't live in disobedience anymore. You don't live as if you were under wrath anymore. You live free. You live for this God, living life, doing the good works that he has prepared for you in order that you bring him glory and more people want that freedom, yeah? But I know many of us are still trapped. Some of you unknowingly. Some of you don't believe that you're trapped at all. Some of you just don't care. It's just easier to not even think about that. And then some of you might be questioning. Please tonight, don't just walk out and just be like, okay, cool, that was great, wonderful skit, great night, lasagna's on. No, this is a moment about death and life itself. This is the cage that we are all or were in. It leaves us feeling hopelessness, but we can't always describe it. Longing for that sense of freedom, knowing there is an emptiness to what the world offers because it keeps letting us down, but we follow it, don't we? Time and time again, we feel the cold, hard bars of disappointment. We are dead. Lacking that life-giving relationship with our God. Knowing our future, but sort of just pretending, like I'd maybe drag Benji along, that we can escape this cage and everything's all good. There is no need to pretend, though. You can escape. Now, all your problems won't disappear. I've got heaps of problems still, but I'm free. Don't you want to be free? This is an opportunity for you to respond. And I want to offer that opportunity tonight. We don't do that all that often here. And this ain't that moment where it's like, stand up, come down the front. That's not our jam. But I want you to consider tonight. And this isn't just for the youth, this is for all of us. You might have walked in here and gone, what's going on tonight? Is this what church is normally like? No, but this is offering an opportunity to respond to the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, every week you have that chance, but tonight particularly, think about it. Respond in your heart. Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to put up a hand, but I want you, if you do respond, to tell somebody. Even if you don't feel like this is the moment now, if you're just sort of getting there, tell somebody that. If you feel like you've done this before, please consider it. In a moment, we're going to do care cards. I'm going to encourage you to take one out or to text that little number, and all you have to write is your name, and maybe you just write feeling trapped because you just don't get it and you're still feeling like you're in that cage. Or maybe you're going to write because you've heard the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been freed to follow. That's all you've got to write. And then one of these youth leaders will follow you up if you're a youth kid, and please think about it and write it down. This is the beginning for some of you maybe. And if you're not, or you're a regular, Ange and I will definitely follow you up. Yeah? Consider it. And to help you with that, I'm going to pray a little prayer. And at the end of that prayer, I'm going to invite you to do the care cards like we normally do, but don't shift all of a sudden. It's like, care cards, cool, we're moving on. Lasagna's around the corner. No, stay in that. Let me pray this for you. And if you want to be freed, you can pray this with me. And at the end, all you've got to say is amen. God Almighty, you are God. You are the one who deserves all praise and honor. But I know I have disobeyed you. I know that I have sinned, and so I'm trapped in death. I know that you will judge, and you should. And so I'm sorry that I haven't obeyed you with my life, but I've followed the evil desires that are against you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus, the one who stepped into that cage of death, who died my death, who took my sins, who was punished for me. Thank you that he rose again, crushing the cage of sin and death and offering me salvation and eternal life. I trust him, knowing I am saved by grace through faith. So please, Lord, now that I am free, please help me to live, to do all I can to bring glory and honor to your name, and thank you for your wonderful work of salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.